I'm here to talk about some work that I've done with my fine co-authors over the last few years to use meta-analysis to constrain management effects on soil carbon storage. Before I get into any details about that, I want to give thanks to the Northern Global Change Research Program for supporting this work and some people who have been the source of good conversation and ideas to this particular part of the analysis. Also, the National Soil Carbon Network, which has done a lot to facilitate my ability to use meta-analysis and come present information about this research to you. All right, some things to convince you that this is an important topic to study. Well, we all know that the forests of the North Temperate Zone are a big carbon sink and that most of the carbon in these forests is in their soils. But when I say stored, it's maybe a misnomer. This is a study of carbon storage, but that's a dynamic term over time and space, as shown by this map here. And that variability over time and space can be driven by a couple of general factors. One, the positive factors, things that cause carbon to be added to the soil and to stay there for longer. And then on the loss term, anything that destabilizes stored carbon and oxidation, whether by respiration or fire, to release it to the atmosphere. What does nitrogen have to do with this? Well, every step of the biogeochemistry of carbon is typically mediated by nitrogen availability in forests. Management, and I include that as a form of disturbance, any sort of physical intervention in a forest can act directly on the stocks of carbon and nitrogen in a forest soil, or indirectly by changing factors that shift balances, inputs and outputs, and so on. And finally, this is important in the bigger world because the things that we're concerned with getting from forests are quite often mediated by carbon and nitrogen storage in those forest soils. I'd like to say a few things about ways that fire can affect soil carbon and nitrogen. First is the obvious. Combustion pyrolyzes and volatilizes carbon and nitrogen from litter and soil organic matter pools. That's a direct effect on the stocks themselves that are contained in soil. Litter and soil organic matter losses following a fire can have hydrologic impacts, erosion, decreased soil water holding capacity, increased runoff, which can have further indirect effects on how carbon and nitrogen cycle and are transported within forest soils. Finally, after the fire has come and gone, there are oftentimes effects on, you might say, the quality, the molecular composition or structure of remaining soil carbon and nitrogen. Here's a figure from a review paper showing a general increase in the aromaticity of soil carbon after a fire. And then, of course, these changes in soil organic matter quality can have feedbacks to subsequent litter inputs via plant productivity. Now, there's a variety of ways you can approach asking questions about fire effects on soil carbon and nitrogen. I'd like to draw a few contrasts and say some things about the approach that people often have used, and that's to my great benefit as a meta-analyst, is that there's a lot of variation both within and between a lot of the individual studies people have conducted to look for fire effects on soil carbon and nitrogen. That's partly just the way things are. Sites, soils, and fires are variable. And there's some great studies out there that have used the presence of this variation as part of their design to understand some things about mechanisms that are operating to cause that variability. But when you have a bunch of different individual studies as illustrated here, it may be possible to give a mean and a measure of variability at the site, but understanding what the broader impact of that fire on a continental or global scale is more difficult because of that variability. If you do synthesis, especially using meta-analysis, which is a quantitative form of synthesis, you can measure broader impacts where they exist, put numbers on them. One of the drawbacks of meta-analysis is that while it can identify sources of variation, it can't say anything about how they operate. That's what primary research is for. A thing that I'm very happy about is that the rate of publication and the willingness of people to share their data for this sort of work is just picking up. The amount of new papers that have been published in 5 years on this topic, or forest harvesting and soil carbon for that matter, is just really rapid, and that's very helpful for drawing a bigger picture. So, a few things about what we tried to do with this research project, this part of the meta-analysis. One of the things we wanted to know is, if you look in the big picture, what's the size of the effect of fire on forest soil carbon and nitrogen storage, and what's the variability? Can we identify factors that are responsible for variation, that can predict variation as it exists across studies? And even if we can't say definitively, what are some of the plausible mechanisms that might operate within these sources of variation? What we did was to restrict our analysis to temperate forest soils. This is a departure from a more or less previous version of this work, the Johnson and Curtis meta-analysis of 2001, which was global forest soils. We knew that the publication rate had increased enough, we would have to restrict our scope, so we looked at just temperate forests. We found 57 publications, mostly peer-reviewed, a few gray-lit, in about a 30-year period. We'd closed the door in 2008 on new papers. For the details about the methods of literature searching and so on, that's in some publications, and I've also presented those in some prior talks here in S7. A few things about meta-analysis I don't want to spend much time on, but meta-analysis looks, it gathers response data in the form of a unitless response ratio. That's a proportional change in some factor, soil carbon storage, for example, of a treatment value relative to a control. It's usually a natural log transform to deal with problems associated with really large response ratios. Oftentimes, in any given paper, you can get a multiple R values response ratios because there have been several levels of a treatment or multiple soil horizons sampled. So that's the sort of approach we took. And altogether, in this analysis, I'll be speaking about 468 response ratios that we collected from these fire papers. Bootstrapping is a statistical method that makes no assumptions about the distribution of assembled R values. It just permutes and resamples again and again, hundreds or thousands of times, and estimates the mean effect size of that treatment and its confidence interval. Metadata are the predictor variables you can harvest from a paper, soil order, time since fire, things like this. They can be categorical or continuous, which is a nice way to do meta-analysis. And just in terms of analogies, this really isn't much different than using a general linear model. It looks at explained and unexplained variation, and then the factors that allow you to explain some part of that variation. Here's the results. All right, in general, what we can see up here at the top, all soils, there's an overall effect, a significant overall effect of fire on soil carbon and nitrogen. That's to decrease the two by about 20% to 25%. It's a pretty consistent effect. If we look at differences in reporting, carbon storage, pool sizes versus concentrations, we see that in general, the effect is much larger. The decrease in soil carbon and nitrogen is much more pronounced for the actual storage than the elemental concentration of either of these elements. Drilling down to look at individual components of the soil profile, we defined forest floors and mineral soils, which altogether showed no difference whether they were surface or deep. So we just looked at mineral soils versus forest floors. It's apparent that this overall effect is driven by a forest floor effect. Forest floors which lost pool size of carbon and nitrogen, but no change in their elemental concentration. Within mineral soils, there was not an apparent change in soil carbon and nitrogen storage, but the concentrations in general declined significantly after fires. Some plausible mechanisms here. Well, forest floors are at the top of the profile, right there where fires happen. So not only are they more exposed, but they're a smaller pool size, so it's easier for a fire to have a greater proportional effect on the pool size. Looking at underlying variation within forest floors, this is just storage now, pools only. We see that the losses of carbon and nitrogen in forest floors were pretty consistent and quite large. But that, in general, conifer forests lost more of their forest floor carbon stocks and nitrogen stocks after a fire than forests that had some component of hardwoods mixed in. I would suggest this may have to do with the tendency of residues to build up and be more flammable in conifer forests than hardwoods. There is a time dimension to variation within forest floors. All forest floor carbon is not lost. It comes back. The mean recovery times are basically the same, about a century to get back lost carbon and nitrogen stocks in a burned forest floor. I'll point out that while this would suggest that fire effects on soil carbon are basically then just transient, it's worth noting that the forest floor plays an important role in a lot of parts of the forest production, holding on to water, cycling nutrients. So If during that period of a depauperate forest floor, the roots, like in this forest soil, can't get what they need from the mineral soil, there may be consequences via forest productivity for future forest floor carbon stocks. Fire type, as you might expect, was a significant source of variation. Here's for forest floors on the top, mineral soils on the bottom. We see that wildfires generally cause greater losses of forest floor carbon and nitrogen stocks, but there was no detectable change in either quantity for mineral soils. What this says is that if what we're concerned with is carbon storage in soils, it might make sense to prevent wildfires via any number of prudent management techniques. I'd like to say a few things about the underlying complexity of mineral soils. While there was no apparent change in the overall carbon and nitrogen stocks, what we found was that the concentrations decreased. And, well, actually that was significant, only four wildfires, as you can see in this table. Yeah, a little bit puzzling there, but these mineral soils generally 3 to 5% carbon in this analysis, about a 10% increase in bulk density would be enough to offset the decline in concentration such that pool size remains the same. That could happen either by loss of surface soil, loss of organic matter that makes soil structure, but whatever the cause, this change in concentration matters to microbes, matters to biogeochemistry, so it's worth more study, understanding. Soil carbon and nitrogen budgets, my last slide here, shows that here we've got control on the left column and burned on the right. I used a combination of the data we collected from the papers and then the meta-analysis derived statistics to look at the overall change in total profile carbon stocks. As you recall, a very large proportional effect on the forest floor, but there's relatively small amounts of the total profile carbon and nitrogen pool held in the forest floor. So the takeaway message from this table here is that the no change that we typically detect in mineral soils is what really matters compared, at least as far as the total profile carbon and nitrogen budget goes. Got a little ahead of myself there. I'll point out, though, that this isn't just about carbon accounting in soils. Again, the forest floor is of concern for forest production, nutrient cycling, water, and so on. So it's one more important caveat, because one of you is probably going to ask it. No, this does not include woody debris. So that would probably be an important thing to consider in future research as well. If you consider woody debris after tree mortality as a net input of carbon to replenish the forest floor, it's important to also consider that that material would have a much higher C-N ratio than the forest floor matter that was probably replaced. All kinds of things I could wave my hands at. That's the story of meta-analysis. But here's the big patterns, and I'll take any questions that you have. Yeah.
We have time for one question.
When's your paper coming out on this? This is published in Ecological Applications now. Okay. Yep, just this summer.